Now, we've all seen the middle aisles in the budget supermarkets filled with gym equipment, and it got us thinking about what the best equipment would be to buy at home or for your home to build your own little gym. And we decided we'd put a call in to Ray Lally, personal trainer. Ray is in our Cork studio. Good afternoon, Ray.
How are you? You well?
Good, yeah. We're going to expand this because as well as the stuff you can buy, we want to know what you can do with the stuff you have already. So we're going to cover loads of stuff here. I believe you're building your own home gym at the moment, Ray. How's it going?
Oh, fantastic. I've got lots of help from the brothers-in-law and the family-in-law. They're proper men that can get things done. So I really appreciate that because I'm more like Father Dougal Maguire when it comes to building.
Right. But you are a personal trainer, so this is going to be, above the average.
Yes. So like I'm kind of... I'd say going all out for myself, like it'd be a proper nice boutique studio, like so proper flooring, great equipment,
yeah,
space saving equipment, because my house is cluttered with gym equipment for the last 20 years anyway. So things like cluttering space and stuff gets on my nerves. So space saving ideas would be very important to me because I want it to be as open as possible. But towards the average person that doesn't want to build their own home gym, it's using their living room or kitchen or bedroom or whatever it may be.
Well, we'll get to that now then. Cool. So this is if you have no budget, but you want to keep fit and you want to use stuff that's there, like we're talking cushions, chairs, tables, stairs, that sort of thing.
Awesome.
What can you do?
Everything. You can train any level from absolute beginners to lack of mobility to athletes. You can use all those things from chairs, stairs, even... going up the stairs with a bit of intensity and then coming back down. There's two reasons to come down slowly. One, obviously it's much safer, but you also get your breath back. Once you get your breath back, you can go up that bit more intensity. So like going up and down 3 to 5 times is more than enough. You will be breathing heavy. Then when you come back down, then you can start even turning around, face the front door, and you're squatting, sitting up and down on the stairs. So you're sitting back. The step is backwards. So you're also bringing your hips back. So it's a kind of better quality of squat.
Uh-huh.
You can turn around then, face the stairs again, and go on to the fourth step, hold on with your hands, and you're doing push-ups at an incline. So again, your technique will be that little bit better.
Yes.
Because a lot of people find push-ups on the floor, whether it's from knees or full push-ups, they find them difficult and it's hard to do it straight away correctly. And even you get sore backs and things, so people don't have the technique. So doing them against the stairs, the kitchen table, the kitchen cabinet, anything like that will have you moving better. So it's much more quality over quantity. So don't worry about trying to push yourself too hard. Moving better is the key.
So we've gone up and down the stairs. We've done our squats. We've done our sort of stairs press-ups, which are good as a starting point. Or for some people, that'll be all they'll ever do. You know, it depends on where you're at.
Of course.
And what else can we use around the house then?
Cushions and socks. I'm a big fan of both.
Right.
So a cushion, for example, if you're doing the classic sit-up where you're sitting on the floor and like when you're actually doing this, this is actually more for hip mobility and hits the lower back when not done correctly. All you do is add a cushion behind your lower back and you'll see that you're moving that bit freer. There isn't as much pressure on the lower back. And as you move slow, you're like, oh, I'm actually feeling the tummy for the first time. Uh-huh. So again, it's better quality. You feel like you're doing less, but you're being kinder to yourself with better technique. That same logic then is also used for squats, sitting up and sitting down from a chair. So you're getting down low where your knee and your hip are quite horizontal. That's actually quite difficult to do for most people. Adding the cushion or two cushions will act as a spring. So you'll be able to get down that little bit lower, but it'll
and
be
is the
less
idea,
resistance.
Is the idea, Ray, to do it without using your hands?
You can do both. I'd advise you use your hands first and you get through the correct movement, you get confident. Then after a couple of goes, you're like, oh, I might try this. And as long as it works right, so you're working the gluteus maximus or the backside, if you will, and the hamstrings, then I'm really happy. If you're working your knee, especially your good leg, as you're getting up and down, that's where you definitely add the hands.
Yeah.
It just makes that a little bit easier, but you're doing it correctly.
And if you have worked with people across ages and across capabilities, so just a health warning now for people not to try stuff if they feel there's any possibility that, you know, they won't be able to do it.
100%. And even if you do feel confident, make it easier first, do the correct movement. You're like, okay, I can feel that. Then you can always make it more challenging. Mm. But a lot of people try to do is they're looking at the equipment or the weights and trying to lift heavy. They think if they lift heavy, they become strong. But it's all about correct movement.
Okay.
And then the strength will become a byproduct of moving correctly with resistance.
Socks.
Yes. So you can lie down on the ground facing the sky. Then you're wearing your lovely woolly socks on a slidey floor and you're just bringing your heels in towards you as you raise your hips. And that's called a bridge or a hamstring curl.
Yeah.
And then slowly back down. Now, doing two legs at the same time is actually quite challenging. So do five, it's more than enough, you'll feel it. Even doing keeping one leg up and moving one leg in and out, you'll still feel, it's kind of like the opposite to a bicep curl, but for the back of your leg. It's called the bicep femoris, actually.
Yeah.
But as you come in and out, you feel that opposite, you face down the floor as like a push-up, and you're bringing your knees in and out of the chest, and that's called a mountain climber. But with the socks, the movement becomes easier.
It's interesting. For younger generations, they know the gym, and it's second nature to them. But for older people, it's a thing that didn't feature in the world that they grew up in. You know, there were very few gyms around the place. But as you get older, it's very important, isn't it, that you do weights or some sort of, what do they call it, resistance?
Yeah, so all weight training is resistance training.
Right.
So in there, like when someone says you have to do weight training, they really mean you have to do resistance training. But weight training is a great version of it. But you can also use resistance bands and also body weight or aqua. Aqua aerobics is fantastic.
Right.
You're still moving with a bit of challenge.
So just explain resistance to us, that why it's called resistance.
Gives you a challenge, so your body will then react to the challenge. So it'll, so as just say, if you hold your hands up in the air, get your elbows up the same height as your shoulder.
Yeah.
And as I'm talking there, it feels fine and okay at first, but as you're holding it there, you'll feel it starting to burn a little bit.
So that even that's resistance?
Yes, that's the body weight resistance then, you see. Right. And then when you're going up and down, just coming down to halfway,
yeah,
that's where then you can add a resistance band or a dumbbell or whatever it may be.
Ah.
That just adds extra resistance. So they're all different challenges.
Ah.
So a weight is a different challenge to a resistance band.
So can I let them down now?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So resistance bands, well, that's obviously something you can buy and it's inexpensive enough.
Oh, they're my favourite piece of equipment.
Are they? Right.
They can train absolutely everyone, any level.
Where do you get them?
Anywhere. Like you can go to, just say, RPM Power. They're an Irish site. You can... They're trustworthy, so I really like them personally. But you can get them in Aldi, Lidl, Home Store and more. You can find them for very cheap as well, which is great. Like,
and Ray, how do you know which ones to get and how to use them?
You'd obviously see all different videos, just say on YouTube or obviously my own page and things. But move correctly first and then add the resistance band to it. So that'll give you an idea. So making sure you're moving correctly and then the band gives it a bit extra resistance.
So give us an example of one particular movement then with a band.
The rows. So you're sitting down, you put the band around your feet, the middle of the band, you hold the either end with each hand, you have your chest out nice and proud, like great posture, and then you pull back your elbows as if you're squeezing the shoulder blades together like you're going to like squeeze a balloon.
Yeah.
And then you slowly bring it back out forward. So it's like you're pulling ropes towards you, but you're obviously pulling the band.
Yeah.
And great. There you'll get your back, which is very important.
And I'd say you have stuff online. There's loads of stuff online if you go resistant bands and you can...
Exactly, everyone has it.
Yeah, and there'll be something for everybody at every level there. Yeah, yeah. So bands, that's cushion, socks, stairs. Then the next level is resistant bands. So if you want to go a step further, what are we talking?
So like it depending on how much you want to spend. So like resistance bands will cost you about a tenner. You get other things as well, like sliders. A skipping rope is fantastic. Even the attempt to get skipping, that'll work. I love skateboards. They work the whole body as well.
Skateboards?
Yeah. So they're not the typical thing you'd find in a
no.
gym. Just grab the grandchild's skateboard there, say I'm taking that for a while. And you can work everything with it from...
And is there videos... With skateboard, yeah, there are, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I have them on my page as well. But it's just, so even adding a skateboard or combining both, you can do similar movements to like reformer Pilates, for example, which is very popular, really, really good for correct movement. And it's just moving correctly, moving with the flow of the body. So like with the skateboard, for example, you can go in that push-up position. And same with the socks, both exercises with the socks. So feet down, knees in, knees out. Again, it's a different challenge to the socks.
Like, be careful with the skateboard. I just tell you to be careful with the skateboard.
I didn't get to that far yet. Yes. Again, starting with one leg. But make sure you're confident trying it first and only try one or two reps and then you can give it a go again. Again, you're only going, go as 80%. Whatever you think you can do, go 80%, get the movement down, and then that'll
give
you confidence.
There's videos online. Did you know that the guy who invented Pilates, his name was Joe?
Joe Pilates,
Joe Pilates, yeah.
Yeah, his surname's Pilates.
I think it's maybe Joey Pilates. And it was about during one of the wars, can't remember which one, probably the Second World War, and when people who'd been injured in the war were recovering for their physio. He was trying to come up with something new. So he dismantled hospital beds with the springs and all, and then that's where the reformer beds were invented by Joe Pilates.
It helps you move correctly, and that's what I love, because there's some movements, as in even getting up and down from the floor, some of these exercises would be really beneficial.
Yeah.
And that's why I love just say Pilates and Pilates type movements, but you can replicate the same
at home
workouts at home very cheaply as well, which is great.
Now, if you have a bit of room and you have a bit of money, and you, these things aren't that expensive. They were telling me upstairs about walking pads. Are these sort of the equivalent of a treadmill?
Treadmill, but slower. So you can get to a very brisk walk, which is great. They're much more quiet than a treadmill, and they can hopefully fit under the couch. So safe space saving, which is fantastic. A treadmill is huge. So if you have the room, awesome. But if you don't, this is a great one.
What are we talking about? Outlay? How much would a walking pad set you back?
I'd say about 150. So between like 130 and 180 type of thing.
And you have one at home,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, the wife got one. So she's delighted with it.
And does it fit under the couch?
No.
Right,
slightly
there you go.
Doesn't. So it's so, we find a new place for it.
Yeah, well, you just need to measure things up, don't you?
Yeah.
Because storage is important. You don't want to be tripping over it.
No, but like if you look at the walking pad, you're like, oh, maybe it's not challenging enough. You're still getting movement while you're watching TV or typing on the computer or whatever it may be. Like, it's a great advantage that way. And I compare it to the electric bikes. At first, I didn't really like the electric bikes because it was like, oh, you should be training, you should be doing it yourself. Then I watched a few people on it. I was like, they're moving correctly. And it's just that little bit easier. I was like, and now that I've tried them, I think they're fantastic because you still get moving correctly.
You're doing something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all movement, whether it be dancing or on the walking pad, watching your favourite RTE show. It's movement, so I'm very happy.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that people would probably perceive as being a children's toy, but you say it's good for exercise. Mini trampoline.
Yeah, I absolutely love them. So that's the thing with the modern or the older ones. So I've had them for a good few years and they're in the parents-in-law's house. I got one of my parents in my own house, so they take up a lot of space. But you can buy a mini trampoline that folds up and you can just throw that anywhere. They're so small. So it's amazing. They're about €130. But the benefits are like this way lower impact on your joints. They're great for your lymphatic system.
And what do you do? Just jump up and down on them?
Yeah, basically like that. So like even just walking, kind of dancing, different things, kind of just movement. It's more fun. So I'd recommend putting on music, pick out three of your favorite songs and have a bit of a dance to it. With personal training sessions, I love it because I can put someone on it and I'm like, run fast for 20 seconds and come back off. And that's a huge hit, as opposed to going on the treadmill for 5 minutes where people get bored and distracted. This is exciting. It's fun. You're like, whoa, I'm on the trampoline. Boom, boom, boom. I'm off. I'm doing my next exercise. So fantastic for athletes. Fantastic for stability training. Fantastic for beginners. I absolutely love them.
Loads of ideas here. Now, if you're going up to the next level then, before you hit the treadmill thing, what are we talking about?
Probably from, just say, pull-up bars to adjustable kettlebells, adjustable dumbbells, things like that. When they get a bit heavier, they become obviously a bit more expensive. What I love, again, about the adjustable ones is their space-saving, which is really, really great, which when you have in your house, you know, your house looks normal, you want to do a session, you drag a few things from behind the couch and you're set up. So they're really good that way. You can change the weights as well, which brings a whole new kind of concept to your workouts where you can kind of do drop sets and things like that, which just means getting lighter as you get tired, so you're using the correct movement.
Yeah.
So the adjustable ones, again, like because I'm buying the gym, I've been researching it way more recently as well. So again, the ones that I've liked personally is from RPM Power. I think they're in Tipperary, but I just love the idea of buying from Ireland as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So and they're, you know, if anything goes wrong, which it won't, but you know where they are.
And like, I'm just worried about people doing things on their own without professional advice. So there's loads of videos out there. Don't try anything that you feel is pushing you too far. And if you can at all, maybe get into a gym beforehand and do a couple of sessions to find out your level. Ask all the questions of the personal trainer and then go back home and put it all into practice, I suppose. How long should you do? Is little and often better than... Oh, is it better, right?
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just about to say it.
Right.
So even if you look at it like 15 to 20 minutes a day, you target 20 minutes a day, you're not going to be that sore the next day, which means more than likely you'll be willing to do it again. So over the 7 days, you've put in 20 minutes every day and you're at 140 minutes. You join a fitness class, for example, and I think everyone should, but just say you push yourself for a big hour and you're sore for days. And I think we've all been there. You're like, oh, it's a bit sore there in the knees or the back. And you mightn't do something for days again. So sometimes you might just do an hour a week. Sometimes you might do two. You never know. But even 20 minutes a day still adds up to more than that. And then you go by month, You're never sore as such, or you're a lot less sore anyway. And it's far more motivating because you can do the consistency and the smaller time. But you can get so much done in 20 minutes.
And you can work it into a routine. You know, 20 minutes is easier to fit into a day than an hour. And if you're doing it at home, you don't have to worry about getting into traffic or getting to where, getting parked and all that sort of thing. Okay, we said you were coming on, Ray. So we got a couple of questions for you. This is from a man. I don't know if he's mid-50s or mid-40s because he says two different things. But what are the best no equipment bodyweight exercises I can be doing to build up my chest, shoulders and back at home?
So bodyweight wise, it's quite hard to do pull exercises, which what we're talking about earlier with the resistance bands.
Yeah.
So the best one to hit all three, shoulders, chest and back, will be a thing called a walkout and then an earthworm. So I'll explain the walkout first. Imagine you're just standing up and you're reaching for the sky. You keep your feet in position and you bend over and you're putting your hands towards the ground and then you're walking out, kind of like a bear, and you're in a push-up position. You hold, 3, 2, 1, and then you walk back up with your hands. So you're pushing up through your hands. On the way back up, you'll feel the shoulders and the back way more. On the way down, it'll be more shoulders and chest. It also is great for your hips.
So you go from a standing position into a press-up position and back up.
Yeah, and then that's the template, so you can add lots of things to it.
Okay.
So you can add a push-up at the end of it or a mountain climber or a twist. So it becomes really, really good. 3 to 5 of those are great, especially when you're starting off. Get used to the movement. And then an extra one, when you're in the push-up position, you're going to walk. So hands are down, feet are down. You can walk your feet in towards your chest and raise your bum towards the ceiling. So it's up like, it's called a pike. So
it's like an up dog from yoga,
yeah,
is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And then just walk back out.
Okay.
So walking up, out.
Now, what are the best ones to lose belly fat, love handles and or improve abs?
So belly fat, unfortunately, is more in the kitchen. Again, you can have high intensity training that will help, but the kitchen is the main place for that. So eating healthy, eating clean. Try to kind of balance out from real food, which we nearly typed as medicine, as opposed to kind of synthetic food, which causes inflammation and stuff. So kind of try to kind of guide yourself that way. Ab exercises to help strengthen the core. I would do, he says he's already doing a few possibly, but then stability type exercises. So even if you have your two arms on an armchair and your knees are on the ground, as if you're praying at the pews. And then what you do is you just raise your knees slightly off the ground and that holding it for five seconds, you'll be like, oh, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And it's not just the abs, you can feel it in the sides, which are called the obliques and your lower back. Then you can add things to that or core work where you have 4 points of contact, hand, hand, foot, foot. And then you just take one off. That becomes 3 points of contact.
Yes, yes.
And that stability
and balance
is actually great work. Yeah, they're really, really good for the core.
Now, another man here, he says, 50, I want to get strong legs at home, but can't do squats due to bad knees. Any alternatives? That's Alan there.
The hamstring exercises will be my main focus because people are usually weaker in their hamstrings than the front of their body, which is the quads. So there's one that I would get you to stand up just slightly away from the wall, not even a shoe size, but nearly a foot, a shoe distance away from the wall. Pretend you're holding a silver platter, good chest out because you're a fancy waiter and you've got a water for crystal jug of Artfort milk. So the best of the best. So then you leave the fridge open, so you got to close the fridge with your backside. So you keep your chest up, you lower the tray and you push your bum backwards. That'll work the back of the legs. And again, you have to keep looking forward and just coming up. So you don't bend right over because you'll spill the milk.
Yes, Artfort milk, the best. Oh,
yeah. You get very upset over spilt milk, apparently.
Yeah.
So you come back up.
No use crying, though.
Oh, no, not at all. And then you're reaching your bum back as if you're just touching the wall and come back up. You'll really feel it in the back of the legs. That's one great one for a hamstring that can... people can do. And again, 3 to 5, you'll feel it straight away. It feels like a band stretching. That's the feeling you're looking for.
Great.
So from the back of some the top of your the back of your leg, so the bottom of your bottom down to the back of your knee, a lot of knee stability, a lot of knee strength will also be more beneficial if people work the hamstrings that little bit more rather than just the front, which is getting up and down.
Ray Lally, thanks so much for coming into our Cork studio. I'm sure we'll chat again. And if you put Ray's name into the Google machine, you'll get videos on all that sort of things. Ray, thank you. Mind yourself.
Very much. Thank you.
Bye bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.